So on this day, as we light a candle remembering Mary, we hear the story of Joseph, slightly different from the story of Mary. The stories around the birth of Jesus are ones which are full of meaning. But it's important for us to think about what is that meaning. What is it that the writer is trying to do? First of all, we have this prophecy from Isaiah. Let's be very clear about this prophecy of Isaiah. This was not Isaiah looking forward, foreseeing the birth of a man called Jesus. His prophecy was about the situation that they were in there and then. Israel, surrounded by enemies at threat of extinction. And Isaiah says, don't worry. Don't worry. We are going to be safe. You are going to be saved. Your enemies will be defeated. And a sign of this will be of a young woman who will give birth. And when she gives birth, before he can even tell right and wrong and eat curds and whey, you will be safe. And this prophecy was fulfilled. Those two leaders from the armies around went away. It didn't happen. Israel was safe. A prophecy that came true. So why on earth do we use it as we approach Christmas? Why is it a reading that is so often one of the first readings, not quite the first, used in the Nine Lessons and Carol service that has been part of the tradition of churches down through the ages, or at least since, I think, about 1840, when it started in Cornwall? And anyone who's wondering why I'm saying Cornwall and not Cambridge should have listened to Radio 4 this morning when they told you all about it. But I'm sure Ian will tell you anyway. It's there. Well, we use it, of course, because Matthew uses it. And we need to think why Matthew uses it. And we'll come a bit more onto that in a moment. But I do want to say that in a way, Matthew is using it because he is seeing within this story, this prophecy of Isaiah, what is the greater prophecy, the bigger prophecy, if you like. And that is of a God who is a continuing presence and continually involved in the universe. And that God's involvement and presence in the universe is of wanting that universe, wanting humanity to be in a state of shalom, of well-being, a place where all is well for all creation. And so when Matthew uses it in the story, giving these words to an angel speaking to Joseph, Matthew is pointing out the fact that this prophecy of Isaiah's is a continuing and ongoing prophecy for all time. It speaks of the continuing presence and involvement of God in creation through all time. That prophecy is for us today real, not because of the story of Jesus, but because God is still involved, present in some way in our universe. And one of those ways is through us. It's part of this continuing story. But Matthew is also doing something else in the way that he is using this story. Because Matthew is also speaking into the situation in which he and their community were living. Let me say, not necessarily Matthew, but the writer of Matthew's gospel. The community that they were part of were living in a particular situation, a situation where Rome is ruling. In the later part of that first century, Jerusalem has probably been sacked by that time. There is not peace. It's a troubled area in the world. And Matthew is writing to those followers of Jesus who, in this troubled corner of the world, are being persecuted. And the people of that region who are being oppressed by the might of Rome. Rome's power, the divine status given to the emperors, is a reality for the people of that region. And Matthew's readers are looking for hope in that time. Matthew, or the writer of Matthew, is wanting to give them that hope, to speak of that continuing presence and involvement of God. Look, in the time of Isaiah, when Israel were being surrounded, God came and saved. And here today, where we are oppressed, surrounded by oppression, so too God will come and help us. God will come and help us. This help will not come from Rome. Rome is the oppressor. Rome is the one that's persecuting you. Their pictures of Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, is not real peace. It's brought by fear. There is another way. God's way. And, says Matthew, in this story of Jesus, as that writer reflects back on the story and the life and ministry of Jesus, he says, this is a moment where God has come to help. In this birth, or in this life of a man called Jesus, God has come in a way that is revealed to the world, revealed to those people who were there, the very essence of God. So call him Emmanuel, God with us. But there's more than Emmanuel. There's Jesus. Yahweh saves. It speaks not just of that presence of God in all times and in all places, but of the action of God through God's people in ways that bring hope and salvation. Last week, one of the lessons was about John the Baptist. You might have had it here. It's this dialogue, not done by text messaging, although kind of you get almost that idea, with John in prison. And John wondering what was going on, because his picture of the one who had come to save was of one who would overthrow Rome. And Rome was not being overthrown in the life of Jesus. And so he says, who are you? What are you doing? And Jesus sends a message back saying, look what's happening around. The blind are seeing, the lame are walking. People are being saved. Not saved from their sin so that one day they might have eternal life in heaven, but saved from the circumstances in which they were there and then. The poverty that they had, the isolation, the sense of being cast out, the sense of having no hope. Yahweh saves. Jesus comes and ministers in a way that brings life and hope to people. It's why in John's Gospel we hear those descriptions that those followers of Jesus had for him as being the light, as being the good shepherd, as being the vine, the water of life. They're descriptions of how those early followers of Jesus experienced the saving grace of God through Jesus, the one who brought them hope and new life. Look, says Jesus, look at the transformation. It's not the transformation that is brought by a foreign power which puts things in order. It's being saved and having your life transformed by the needs that you have being met here and now. So this passage in this gospel according to Matthew's community, the naming of Jesus is not the start of the story. It's something that's come very much later. As the gospel writer tries to explain who this Jesus was, the significance of Jesus for their lives, during his lifetime and since his death and resurrection. The writer looks back on the story of Jesus and puts into this story around the birth of Jesus messages to the people who will subsequently read this gospel, messages that speak of how this Jesus was one so full of God that he brought hope and he brought new life and he brought transformation. He brought salvation. It was a brave thing for the writer of the Gospels to do, for it's a subversive proclamation. It undermines all that imperial ideology. It's making a stand. It's an act of resistance. Resistance to the ways of power and authority, and appointing to the ways of God, the ways which Jesus described to John, of lives transformed by the bringing of hope, by the care and concern that was shown. And we too must write that story that the writer of Matthew writes, through our words, through our lives. We must speak of that transforming way, God's way, that brings hope and life. If we truly want to put Christ into Christmas, then we must take note of the spirit of Christmas that is always talked about, of love, of joy, of peace and hope for all. And we must live that, not just on Christmas Day, not just during the challenge of Advent and through Epiphany, but each and every day. For that is the calling, God's calling on our life. To be the presence of God to one another, to all the world. To be people who offer hope and life. To be people who show through the care, the concern, the sharing, the welcome, the inclusiveness, the hospitality. We must show God and God's presence. So may we be as obedient as Joseph in this story. May we take that as our example, that we too might give our life to allowing Christ to be born again in your hearts, in my heart, in the hearts of this nation and the hearts of this world, in ways that bring life. Amen.